Good morning and welcome to the Roundtable panel. I'm Joe Donahue. It is a delight to be back. Thank you very much to Ray Graff for filling in over the past week or so. It was very nice of him. And it's great to be back. We have a wonderful panel before us. Let me introduce them to you this morning. Alan Chartok is here, of course. Good morning, Alan.
Welcome, Joe. It's been great with Ray, but I tell you, there's nothing like Joe Donahue.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And maybe even a jet lag Joe Donahue today. I don't know how you get over that.
It takes about seven. I think it's, what do they say? It's a day for every hour of change. A day
really?
For every hour, yeah.
Wow, man.
Because when we came back from Greece recently, that was what happened. Boy, it took a while.
Did you feel like you were just beaten up with bats? And
absolutely. Absolutely. It's terrible.
Great to be human and back and not on a plane anymore. University of Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo. Hello, Rosemary.
Hello and welcome back.
Thank you very much. And associate editor of the Times Union, Mike Spain, who did double duty last week. And I thank you for that as well.
Hey,
always good to be here.
Great to see you.
And since I was gone, they've put up these little bulletproof shields in front of the microphones. These are very nice. These are identifiers for the people who watch online. And they say WAMC Northeast Public Radio. And we used to have these little boxes that were about 2 inches by 2 inches that went over the microphones and were very unobtrusive. These things are like mini billboards. And I can't see Alan right
now.
Well,
that's the problem. Yesterday, we had somebody on who could not be seen during Vox. It was our physician and Jenny Michaels. And they kept wildly pushing their hands up against the thing, saying, move it over, move it over.
All of these issues. But it's very nice, very classy.
Well,
I like them.
I've been here now a week while you were gone, and I never noticed them.
Are you serious? Wow, that is... I don't know when they came in, but they're very nice.
And, of course, it leads to the other question at press conferences. You know, if you have the microphone, some of our reporters sometimes go down there without the box on the microphone. Well, if you're watching television, there's nothing like seeing WAMC public radio,
right.
You know,
it's
up
part
there.
Of the branding.
So we yell at them.
Mm-hmm. When I started in commercial radio, you'd get $20 extra in your check for every time the mic fly got in the
picture. Is that true?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Oh my
yeah.
gosh.
So
people didn't like broadcast. You guys are nuts. $20 for branding, not for asking the best question. Or...
Well, if you're asking, but you're asking the question, and you're in there, and you're on TV, so.
Well, no, Rosemary has a point. It's sort of nutty, but I can understand what the issue is. I mean, you know, they want to see their brand around.
So. Well, if your question is so profound, then the cameras will all focus on you with your little emblem of the station.
Mike,
right?
You are a great statesman. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Let us get to our items for today. And I was looking through the news and sort of catching up. And although I don't know how much catching up, because actually in England I found that they report real news occasionally. So
some of them. I was disappointed. I've always been disappointed. I read their papers over there, and I was expecting all the sophisticated Shakespearean newspapers.
What about Fleet Street?
I don't think it's generally all that.
Here's a question.
There's nothing like the New York Times, really.
I agree. What is the go-to paper? Is there a paper for record
of London?
The Times of London. Yeah.
I believe that has that reputation.
So I'm with you.
The Guardian is pretty good in investigative stuff. But I think
lefty.
We like it here better than they do.
Yes, absolutely.
We don't have a good lefty paper anymore, do we?
No, New York Times.
Some people would say the New York.
No.
So a federal district judge ruled
Yay.
On Monday that the NSA program that is systematically keeping records of all Americans' phone calls most likely violates the Constitution, describing its technology as almost Orwellian,
right.
And suggesting that James Madison would be, quote, aghast to learn that the government was encroaching on liberty in such a way.
Very strong
language.
Yes, you must let me speak first. I just think this is an amazing ruling. It comes from a George W. Bush appointee. This is not some liberal crazy. And it points out.
Somebody's going to write you about that term. You just used the liberal crazy.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. No,
I'm one of them. Well, I'm a bleeding heart liberal, I think, but this is not. He is not. He is a Bush appointee, and in a 68-page ruling, which I started reading this morning, it pulls no punches. It says this was a secret, unconstitutional program, and I will only point out that we would not know about it at all. He would not even have this case if it were not for Edward Snowden. So all those people out there who have been telling us what a traitor he is, change your mind.
Well, it's interesting because the judge said that the government up to now to justify, you know, this kind of NSA surveillance has used a 1979 Supreme Court case in Maryland where the police were allowed to capture phone numbers dialed from the home of a robbery suspect and then use that, even without a warrant, use that. And that was a case that went to the Supreme Court. But today it's much
different.
Every
law and order, Mike.
Right.
Every law and order, they say, get out the LUDs.
Right.
Whatever they are.
But
LUDs,
the judge LUDs. Said in his ruling that things have changed since 1979. Nobody could have ever imagined how citizens of 2013 would interact with their phones. There wasn't text messaging. If people wanted to text message, he said they would have just jotted something down
point.
And sent it off in the mail, you know. So it does show how technology has really, changed so rapidly that court cases from a couple of decades ago may not even be applicable.
What has not changed is the incredible efforts of the government to hide things under any administration. Several other suits of this nature never went very far because you could never prove that you were someone who was a victim. You didn't have what's called standing in the court because you couldn't prove, the NSA is looking at my stuff.
Right.
Because of Edward Snowden, hero patriot, we now know that Verizon was one of the places that was cooperating with the government or not cooperating was a victim of NSA. And so you're allowed to bring this suit.
A couple of points. One, I certainly agree with you that we wouldn't know if Snowden hadn't done it. And therefore, I think you can't have a democracy. I've said it a billion times. You can't have a democracy unless you have information.
Yep.
And we didn't have that information. And now people can make up their own minds. The second thing is, obviously, it's all about security. And you know how these guys work. They say, I watched them on 60 Minutes on Sunday night. We are saving your life. There are dangerous people out there. And if you don't let us do this, you'll be dead, basically.
One other point in this ruling that I've come across so far, Alan, is that the judge says, show me the proof that you have found any any link.
That it's worth it.
Right. There are no arrests. There are no plots undone. If you have them, show them to me.
If I'm them, I say, I can't tell you that.
Yeah,
that
would, exactly.
I can't tell you that. That's classified information. And if we do that, then we'll give up our sources and then it'll be terrible.
I noted that too, Rosemary. The one thing is then to take it a step further and you assume they have to be getting something or it wouldn't be worth their while, right?
Boy, it doesn't. No, I don't think so. I think that this, as Mike said, you have this incredible technology. They're playing with it. They're collecting metadata, and they don't know what they can with it yet.
I think
that could be happening.
So,
in response to Joe's very good question, show me a bureaucracy that wants to get rid of itself. In other words, this is a self-fulfilling prophecy.
But what's different is that in this case, we didn't know what that bureaucracy was doing.
Yeah.
And when finally someone with a conscience puts it out in the open and we're having this law case and this discussion, then we call them a traitor and chase them to Russia.
Well, you heard the reports that, the NSA director himself kind of suggested there might be talks of giving amnesty to him to let him come back to the U.S. so we can find out what exactly he did reveal so that they can close up some of the leaks or do some damage control.
He is in prison in a way.
Yeah.
I mean, being in Russia is just about one step above that.
Well, to get back to what you were saying and expand on it, Mike, our esteemed, our vaunted NSA and intelligence community that's supposed to be protecting us from terrorism is so riddled that they cannot figure out what this young man with does he have a high school education, what he knows. They cannot figure
what
out what he
come
saw.
Out? I mean, The Guardian might have another release next week that will even dig deeper.
He worked in Hawaii, and they don't have protection on those machines that allow you to, that register who's on there using the machine. There should be like a log of who was there so that they should be able to trace them.
Well, isn't
they
that
can't
the,
even do that.
Isn't that the irony of the whole thing? Is that the whole thing is about our security, and this schnook can say, okay, at this level, get all of this information
not
and put
schnook,
it out.
A patron and hero. However,
no. But
somebody at a low level.
On a low level. I mean, he's not. Yeah. He's. We're not talking about
like a top level employee,
an NSA secretary or anything.
I say it again. Our security, so-called security analyst, didn't know that the wall was coming down, in Germany, and they didn't know that communism was dead. But in the meantime, they've got all this metadata that means something to them.
So what we have ended up with is a huge unconstitutional, if this judge is upheld, unconstitutional assault on our civil rights and no real protection. We traded our civil rights for zero.
Well, don't you think they're going to be think they'll be coming back and saying we're going to fix it all up now and, we're going to make sure that the secret FISA court, the secret.
Well, he complained about the secret judge, the secret court in his decision. But the Obama administration's coming out with changes, and this will let them say, we agree with some of that, and this is why we want to make these special protections so that your privacy is not compromised.
I just have to say, just the founding fathers knew what they were doing. The word got out finally, and now we're adjusting.
It was tweeted out, or whatever.
But now it's adjusting. The law works, debate works, openness works.
And now on public transportation and buses in Washington, D.C., they say, we the people oppose the surveillance state and say thank you, Edward Snowden, with a picture of him. Toward the end of the bus.
I love that. I want my picture with one of those buses.
We are going to take a break. When we come back, I want to continue this line of questioning. We will return. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org.
Support for WAMC goes to Mashokan Center, Olive Bridge, New York, a classroom in the wild helping schools, organizations, and individuals reconnect with nature, history, and the arts. Ashokencenter.org. Berkshire Co-op Market Great Barrington, offering organic and local groceries for the holidays and working to build a healthy and sustainable community through cooperative engagement. Berkshire.coop. And New York Pain Management, offering pain management for chronic pain and spine care in a private office setting with Drs. Charles Gordon and Quentin Fung. Be set free, nypainfree.com.
Welcome back to the roundtable on our panel this morning. Delight to have you here. We're going to be going to a news break in a moment, but I just want to wrap up this discussion about NSA phone records and finish up our conversation by talking about what impact this has on the Obama administration. I find a lot in the coverage that I read that there seems to be this wall a bit between the surveillance program and the administration, and I'm wondering, is that a real wall, or is that going to come tumbling down at some point?
Aren't we already, as we just noted, there are already discussions about changes and reforms. I think he must respond.
Well,
to
Obama
this.
Knows this is really poison,
yep.
I'm sure, and is going to do something. In the beginning, I think he was a little defensive, inappropriately defensive.
Yeah, I thought he was a lot.
It's his administration who went after Snowden, who turned him into
a
bad guy.
An exile,
right, yeah.
So, but the question, how much are they, is the administration, I guess my question being, how much is the administration directly responsible for this type of activity?
Directly.
The
Patriot
Act. Buck stops here.
Yeah, the Patriot Act was came under, after 9/11, it was a Bush administration act, but Obama had the chance to modify it or to talk against it. He didn't either.
Which
so
my understanding was, and I have this is just recollection and nothing more, so I may be completely off base on this, but did he not during the campaign express concerns over the Patriot Act and say that he was going to do something?
That's my recollection.
Well, in any case, Michael called. Again, he's been on our case, and he said, and he didn't call, he wrote, and he said, what malicious intent does the government have? Snowden's a traitor. If Nazi Germany was the enemy, you'd be whistling a different tune, Michael.
Oh, God, no. I don't think I would be. Intelligence is intelligence, and the enemy, Hitler's Germany or Iraq and Iran, I'm not sure it's a difference.
When we think about long-term impact then of, as you noted, of changes being done, I mean, how much of that toothpaste can you put back in the tube?
Mm-hmm. That's well, right.
Right now, nothing is going to change. The judge stayed his own ruling because he knows it's going to go up to the Supreme Court.
Correct.
And remember, there were two people who had sued, mm-hmm. and they they had standing, and he was addressing those two people.
Yes.
That's what he was doing. He didn't say the whole program. You know, I mean, he said these two people.
But it could easily translate to.
And we also heard from Manisha, who said, the Snowden narrative seems to be changing. Snowden was a genius among geniuses, as alleged NSA co-worker.
Well, I don't know. He certainly did an amazing feat of data collection. You know, let me talk back about malicious intent. I don't think the government has a malicious intent. I think that is the nature of big institutions and bureaucracy that you protect, that you don't want people looking in on you and you want them to trust you. I don't think that's quite the same as being malicious.
No, I think it's just a philosophy that the more information we have, the better off we are.
Right.
And it's kind of agnostic. It's not political.
Right.
You know, that's the bureaucracy. And then it just becomes a bureaucracy unto itself. It has an enormous budget, and it has great technology, and they just
leave us alone. We'll take care of you.
But, Michael, in the end, no matter what the motivation, mm-hmm. it can have horrific results.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I'm not defending it on that.
No,
yeah,
I'm
just case,
saying I don't think it's some,
of our constitutional
some,
rights. Yes.
Some malicious intent behind it, as you were describing it. I think it's just, you know, it just got bigger and bigger and bigger, and in the, you know, in the wake of 9/11 and the fear of terrorism and in the years since then, you know, people have not objected. They want to feel safe, and they want to know that their government is doing something to protect them and know where the next bomb is going to be thrown from or whatever.
Well, I am very heartened by this whole thing. Even if it gets changed at the Supreme Court level, it's being aired. You have people of different ideologies agreeing on what's really centrally important. This is a really good
thing. But your point about the Supreme Court is an interesting one when it gets up to the Supreme Court, because it's always 5-4.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, the swing vote is always Kennedy, and Kennedy is supposed to be a libertarian. Mm-hmm. Libertarians don't like this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right. The liberals, the libertarians, and even the conservatives might agree on a lot of this stuff. Yeah.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will get to many other subjects. In the meantime, we'll get the latest from NPR News. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Don't forget, you can go on our Facebook page or our webpage or tweet us at WAMC Roundtable. At, that little symbol, at WAMC Roundtable, all one word, and you can tweet us there as well. We'd love to hear from you. We'll be back right after this short break. Welcome back to our roundtable panel. We always welcome your thoughts. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We have several topics to talk about that are health related this morning. Some interesting things that
and
broke late in the day.
Not
exactly.
Obamacare. Exactly.
Yes. And so let us begin with multivitamins. More than half of all adults in the United States take some sort of multivitamin. We have two hands up. Alan, three hands up. Okay.
Four hands up.
But many do so in hopes of preventing heart disease or cancer or even to aid with memory. But an editorial.
I do it because they've come out in gummy bear flavors, and it's like eating candy on a diet. Yeah. I love them.
Yeah.
You. Well, cancer would be nice, but well, I like the candy flavored.
Well, last week we had a story, which we discussed in your absence, Joe, about vitamin B12 among older people. You're not getting enough. And I checked mine, and if I take a thing that says for men over 50. I should take it for men over 70, but it says
you're still over 50.
Just take one and a half.
Over 50, but vitamin B12. It turns out that vitamin B12 is very important, and neurological impairment, maybe dementia.
How would you get it naturally? I mean, what foods would you need to eat?
You cannot.
Yeah. So
you cannot.
The only way to get it is to take a supplement.
You have to take a supplement or a shot. Because a lot of older people take B12 shots, and it ain't cheap. But in any case,
CNN story today would certainly give people reason to pause if they're taking a lot of multivitamins and.
So well, it's an editorial, published, an editorial, we should note, an editorial published in the Annals of Internal Medicine, which in and of itself was an amusing title, says that using supplements and multivitamins to prevent chronic conditions is a waste of money. The vitamin and supplement industry is based on anecdote. People saying, I take this and it makes me feel better, according to Dr. Edgar Miller, professor of medicine and epidemiology at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine and co-author of the editorial. It is perpetuated, but when you put it to the test, there's no evidence of the benefit in the long term. It can't prevent mortality, stroke, or heart attack.
But it's but you see, that's the beauty of what they always say. There's no proof that it helps. When they say to me, it hurts you, that's another whole story. So I'm going to continue to take my multivitamins.
I think you, and that's exactly what I was thinking of, Alan. Yeah. Is because they're not saying that it hurts you. What basically what they're saying
it doesn't help you.
You're wasting
your
money.
Well, you're wasting your money, right? Yeah. That it's a waste. And it seems more economical. You know, you could do this. You don't need to do. Sure. You don't need to do that and spend the money because it's not.
And they
doing
change
anything.
Every day. One day they're going to say to you, Joe, you know, you've been right all along. Diet Pepsi really helps you.
Well, I know. I'm waiting.
Well, there's a new one out, another study that says taking calcium, which of course for talking women over 50 sure. is like mm-hmm. is the you have to do that
gold
for
standard.
Your bones.
Right.
Yeah, gold standard. That now may increase chance of heart problems. So really, I think I'm going to adopt my mother's philosophy. 88 years old. Don't take any pills. Eat ice cream and potato chips.
Hmm.
Yeah. When did she adopt that philosophy? Was that always her philosophy, or did she adopt
I
that
think
philosophy?
So. I think so. She doesn't like broccoli. I can't think of anything.
I think red wine and chocolate is also a good heart preventative.
I like that. I like that too. Yeah.
The vitamin and supplement industry rakes in nearly $12 billion annually, and it seemed in some cases, in reading the report that was released, again, it was it seemed to be that this doctor, these authors of this editorial, were ticked off that about the industry making that much money.
Like snake oil.
How many people in this room take an aspirin, a low dose aspirin? We got three here.
Yeah. I don't think I'm at that point yet.
And every once in a while, you'll see something about aspirin.
Off. You will be.
Well, right. I said not yet.
You know, they cause
if you can tolerate
some bleeding or this or that, you know, if they do it. But I'm doing it.
You know,
I think every doctor.
All of these are just like shortcuts. And Michael Pollan, the great food writer, probably has said it best. You know, live a healthy lifestyle. Exercise.
Hour of exercise every day, right here.
That's good. Eat. He said, eat food, not too much of it, mostly plants.
Right, fruits and vegetables. That's
even
what
the
this,
outside
this,
of the grocery store, right? That was Michael Pollan's.
Right. That's right.
But if you have a stressful life, and you, like many people do, and you're busy and you're eating on the go and you can't always get fresh fruits and vegetables, or you don't like fresh fruits and vegetables like some people may not, and you eat what you can taking these supplements maybe compensate for a poor diet, or can they help compensate for a poor diet? That's what I wonder.
Also, what about kids? Because my understanding was, I don't take vitamins as an adult, but when I was a kid, I always took.
Yeah, Flintstone vitamins. My goodness, they were a mainstay in our house.
And
this doesn't seem to address that.
No, and I don't know if where you get to that point in your. Because I know my pediatrician as a child was always, you know, you take this, and it was a prescribed mm-hmm. multivitamin, and you were, that was to help you. And I'm wondering how much of that will.
I thought that was more like a safety thing, though, too, because kids do run around. They do drink milk and
and build up immunity to different things, right?
Right, right.
So it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
Interesting.
Let's move on from supplements and things that are over the counter to drugs that are back behind that counter and what you can advertise and what you can't. The British drug maker GlaxoSmithKline will no longer pay doctors to promote its products and will stop tying compensation of sales representatives to the number of prescriptions that doctors write. Its chief executive made the announcement on Monday, effectively ending two common industry practices that critics have long assailed as troublesome conflicts of interest.
You can say that again.
My question is, why now? Like, they've been doing it for years. So well,
sometimes it takes a while to roll around. You know, if you go into the doctor's office where I'm going to be today, there's inevitably two very good-looking young Americans sitting there. They looked like they could have been recruited from, well, for want of a better term, the Moonies or another very good group. And they are always the drug people, the drug dealers, salesmen.
The drug salesmen. The representatives of the pharmaceutical companies.
Okay, I did it on purpose. Yes. Okay. So, and they're there, and you know what happens. And then every once in a while, when a doctor takes his lunch, they say, okay, you can come in now. And sometimes they bring the lunch during that thing. Now, some people would ascribe to this a bad word like bribery. But the doctors might say, well, you know, this is good stuff because we get the latest information by doing that. But then they give them money to go give speeches. I don't know how many people are in the room. They used to do that with congressmen. They'd go, say, we want you to come to the Labor Federation to give a speech. And they'd walk in and there'd be two guys smoking cigars sitting around a table. That would be the speech. And some people thought that that was bribery, too. And doctors aren't doctors aren't making as much money as they used to. Really not.
Right. We've done stories about doctors in this community who have, you know, been paid a couple $100,000 to go abroad and go around the U.S. and speak about their own personal experience with certain medications. And it's been criticized. And I think that's exactly what is going on. They're feeling it's pay to play. These are really just big commercials. And there's been restrictions on what doctors can accept for some time now, too. I mean, there's been ethical standards that prevent doctors from taking these junkets. So now they build in conferences to these junkets.
Oh, who doesn't do that?
Right.
Lawyers and professors and
journalists,
you name it. Everybody does that. I don't because I'm not worth it. But people do. Rosemary, you've gone to some of these, haven't you?
Sure, of course.
Yeah.
So when it comes to what is ultimately, you know, one leading manufacturer doing this, do you think it will lead to others? Will it lead to a large change in how we promote? Because we're still, look, if you take this away, we're still advertising extremely heavily.
In a way we never did before.
Right.
Although I have to admit that when I get through looking at one of those commercials, and by law, you know, they have to tell you all the things that death may result.
Your hand's going to fall
enough
off
for me.
Whatever.
You know, I think there's a parallel to lobbying in Washington or in Albany, political lobbying, and there's been attempts over the years to reform, to regulate them. Lobbying continues. There is indeed a need for this transfer of information.
It's a First Amendment right, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't want to see it go away, and I think that you know, I'm no fan, I guess, none of us are, of a big farm. They get a lot of bad press. But think of the potential for good that these companies have. And
yeah,
they're
all living a lot longer, I can tell you that much.
Yeah, I mean, they have money. They do research and development, which has dropped out of, you know, our government to a large extent.
Yeah, that's correct.
They get publicity and goodwill from doctors and the public by doing good as well as evil, bribery and all this stuff we're talking about. So I think this is a great development. And I look forward to seeing how we'll look at this in the future.
To Joe's point, I think the others will be pressured to follow big pharmaceutical companies.
And let me ask you a question. If you're putting, as Rosemary just said, all your money into advertising and you find an alternative way of doing this, why do you really need to spend all these millions of dollars supporting doctors? There's probably somebody sitting around at a table with a calculator who's saying,
we can
save some money here.
Yeah.
Well, didn't they make a big deal a couple of years ago about the stuff, the pens, the pads of paper and all of the things that they were dropping off that it was
who
seen
is
as
they
a
who made this?
Meaning I don't remember there was
well,
some
it was the drug companies
advocacy
well
group.
The drug companies were doing it, but then there was some crackdown on the amount the amount of that material that could be given.
There were limits put on, you know, how much something could be worth, almost the same kinds of rules that legislatures have about
$75,
and what something is worth, and they wouldn't have these elaborate dinners, but they might be able to bring you a lunch, you know, that kind of thing.
But you know, growing up on the west side of Manhattan, I knew a whole bunch of people who were attracted not by getting money, but by the possibility of getting money. You know what I mean? They're attracted by the fact that this lady, her husband owns apartment buildings on the east side. And so the middle class people who were running, you know, not-for-profit organizations would go to them like bees and honey because there was this potential that you were going to get something. Yeah. That you can't stop.
The motivation.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will wrap up our conversation. We'll do one more health story and then some other news of the day. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Support for WAMC goes to Hummingbird Jewelers Rhinebeck, custom design specialist since 1978, showcasing fine jewelry designers from around the world, hummingbirdjewelers.com for holiday events. And Quality Foreign Car Care, Boston Spa, New York, sales and service of Audi, BMW, Mercedes, Volvo, Saab, Volkswagen, and Porsche, QFCC.com.
Welcome back to our roundtable panel. We welcome your input. Is the word I was trying to say. Roundtable at wamc.org. Rosemary Arameo is with us, Alan Chartok, and the associate editor of the Times Union, Mike Spain, who will share with us some stories from the Times Union in just a moment. Before we do that, I wanted to do the one other health story that was in the news, which I found fascinating, as we're talking about all of these things that are supposed to be good for us now that are turning out to be bad, and that is antibacterial soaps.
Oh,
yeah, but before we do that, can I just read one thing?
Of course.
That I think is germane to this. Vitamin B12 is if there is no natural source of vitamin B12, then our body, which evolved in an environment without B12, cannot really rely on it. Thus, B12 is actually an alien substance which might or might not be tolerable, never mind beneficial, from George. I had read something.
That was a letter.
Yes,
you just
that was
read.
A letter.
Yeah,
I'd read something that
sounded like your manifesto for a
in
moment.
NYT. In the New York Times would said the opposite of that, but I thought we should just read it.
Some alien substances can be good for you, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
Kryptonite and gummy bears.
And Vinnie
I want that.
And Vinnie Martello, after 911, our security agency were criticized for not connecting the dots, and we shouldn't advocate dismantling an effective tool that does just that. Security advocates are correct in saying terrorists only have the right to do tremendous damage where our security people have to be right 100% of the time. Increased oversight, yes, but let's not throw out the baby with the bathwater. That's
okay,
from
fair
Vinnie.
Fair enough, Vinnie.
We're good?
Well, there's another one, I think.
All right. Let me know when I can talk about soap again.
This is...
I hate all the soap dispensers.
Antibacterial soap.
Isn't that crazy?
Well,
how did that happen?
Does that... Okay, forgive me for being stupid on this, but those antibacterial... this stuff. This stuff.
Purell.
This is a hand sanitizer. Is that the same? This is different than what they're talking about.
Right?
That's not soap.
They're talking about antibacterial hand soap, which I think is found in a lot of the commercial dispensers. And people buy those little bottles in the supermarket and put them next to their sinks and and pump a few.
Yeah, and they are. They're everywhere.
After years of mounting concerns that antibacterial chemicals that go into everyday items like soap and toothpaste are doing more harm than good, the Food and Drug Administration said on Monday that it was requiring soap manufacturers to demonstrate.
Really,
here again, show us the data. To demonstrate that the substances were safe or to take them out of the products altogether.
Oh, boy. You guys remember the old Shaggy Dog story, which goes on forever and ends with the line, "No soap radio"?
Yeah.
I get it. I'll tell you someday.
Cool. Excellent. Teaser. A teaser from February. You know, here's what I know from the manufacturers. And that is that you open up your hand. They show the cartoon of your hand or the cartoon of your teeth, and there are 50 dots of pink on your teeth.
Billion.
And then when you use their product, there are only three
dots
dots of pink.
Certain mouthwash perhaps might do that for you.
Yes. Now, 99.7% of whatever household germs it eliminates or whatever. So my question is, you know, if you don't do that, then is that pink stuff, is that animated pink stuff still on your hand? Or how does that work? And I don't understand that.
I don't know, but don't touch me, Joe.
What?
Well, you have to wonder if if you're getting rid of all this, all these pink dots the ultraviolet light would reveal, what's that going to do to the development of your immune system? Alan, what do you think about that?
Well, I don't know. All I know is when Murray the dog comes into WAMC, he jumps up on Joe's lap and kisses Joe's face with his tongue.
Yeah.
Then Sarah LaDuke, Joe says, Sarah, do you want Murray to come? And Sarah is always repulsed by that idea, which I take great offense to. Says,
hence
you know where
the
that
hand
face,
sanitizer.
You know where that tongue has been?
Yeah. Well, I mean, but here again, I think we have just crud all around us, and I refuse to believe that a dog is a carrier.
In raising our kids,
let's put it in another terms. That person who's making your sandwich at the deli, would you like him to use this antibacterial soap before they?
Well, except that he must, and
under law,
he must under law wash his hands before he leaves the restaurant.
Well, also, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
I want them to use it. I just want to be on the record here.
there are certain places in, well, anyway, there are certain places where they wear the rubber gloves. They have the rubber gloves.
And we
assume that it's for their safety and for our safety. But meanwhile, they make your sandwich and then they count out the money with the rubber gloves.
Some do. And some take off the rubber gloves in order to do something else. And then they put the rubber gloves, which has done something else, back in on their hands. You get it?
It's all kind of crazy. We live in a world with germs, with bacteria.
Right.
And you can't eliminate them all. And efforts to do it with these industrial soaps and other things.
It's leading to more problems. Nerve damage.
When our kids were little, we used to be okay if they like ate a handful of dirt or put a mud pie in their mouth. It was like, okay, you're building up your immune system. And now what? We're just putting ourselves in saran wrap. That's the answer. Just wrap yourself up in
that. Well, the 2,000-year-old
like
man knew that.
There
you go.
Yeah. He knew that.
The rule is open for public comment for 180 days, and it does not apply to hand sanitizers, which will be considered separately. But you could only assume that if the problem is killing these germs, that this is going to affect this too.
Yeah, I think the sanitizers are also going to be.
I've heard it said that just rubbing your hands back and forth when you use a hand sanitizer is really what makes your hands clean. You know, it's the
friction. So if you had nothing and you just did it,
it would be cheaper. You know, this is just one take.
Well, I had heard that of the people, even with the mouthwashes, that say that if you do this, that this gets rid of 99.6% of the germs, that if you just rinse your mouth out with water, it gets out 99.59% of the germs. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, wow, no multivitamins, no hand sanitizer, no mouthwash. I'm going to go buy a new coat.
Contrasting what I read in the paper, Lucy checks in, vitamin B12 is available in fish, shellfish, dairy, eggs, and meat. Vitamin B12 deficiency should only be a problem for vegetarians and vegans.
I want a moratorium on vitamin B12. Let's talk about people dying in Saratoga while we discuss having casinos in the same place.
Yeah, that's a sharp contrast today. A couple of stories that are big in the news that were in the Times Union, and one is certainly about a tragedy where a woman who is a known homeless person in the city of Saratoga Springs was found dead on Thursday morning. They believe she died of exposure. She was sleeping near a senior center, outside of a senior center where people go to escape the elements because there's a little awning on the back porch. And she evidently died of exposure, although the toxicology tests are not back. But across town last night from that, people were debating millions and billions related to a proposed casino that would be in Saratoga Springs. Under the constitutional amendment that was approved by voters in November, there'll be four upstate casinos, one in the capital region, and one in particular site is the Casino and Raceway, Racino, I guess as they call it, that's at the Saratoga Raceway Harness Track, which is getting ready to submit a proposal to become that area casino. There's also some talk about sites in the city of Rensselaer, just across from downtown Albany, and then off I-90, straddling Albany and Colony. The old First Prize site is being mentioned as a possibility. But in Saratoga, the county voters went against the casino when they, last November. Mm. So there is a strong opposition to bringing Las Vegas-type gambling to the city. Merchants are worried that it will, keep people just over at the location where the casino is, and the owners there who are submitting the plan to submit the application for the casino say, we'll have to work with you, and don't worry, it'll be a lot of good jobs and a lot of money for the city.
And, Mike, the same thing has been going on in Western Massachusetts also.
Yes, right.
People have been turning down these things. It's interesting because there's an economic divide, not in the case of Saratoga, but there is in some of these cities where the more affluent places are turning it down just easily, whereas in some of the inner city places where the jobs are needed more and things are... So there's a sort of economic competition.
Rex Smith, the top editor of the Times Union, had an interesting puzzle that Mike and I were talking about earlier today that put the casino not where they want it or they're debating it, but where they really need it. His suggestion was Rensselaer.
Right. Just across from downtown Albany, there's a development that's been in the works for about 5 years where they cleared the site and it's ready to become a multi-use development. There is talk now. There's been some interest in making that a potential, potentially making that a casino, and there might be an application for a permit to put it there, which would take away the opportunity for Saratoga Springs to have it. It's close to a lot of low-income areas. It's accessible to downtown Albany. And one aspect of it that Rex came up with, which was intriguing, is it could return the old boats to Albany.
Yeah.
You know, people could come up on
night
boats
from the
night boats,
right,
to Albany.
I don't know. It might go nowhere, but I love that it was proposed, and I would like to see some, you know, big thinkers, people with vision, who would like at least look into this in Albany. Why not?
It would help a very low-income area, and Rensselaer County actually voted majority in favor of the constitutional amendment, so it would probably fly over there.
No comment.
Who, me?
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I see what happened in Atlantic City. I've seen what happens. I think we're probably getting too many of them.
You just don't want it at all.
Yeah, my instincts. Right. I mean, I don't know enough, but my instincts are it ain't great.
Yeah, I think the train is on the track and it's heading this way. We just don't know where it's going to stop.
Or who it's going to hit.
Right.
Rosemary, Mike, Alan, thank you very much. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Coming up next, more Roundtable on WAMC.